All right, good morning. Am I on? We good? Okay. Good morning. It's good to be home. For those of you that don't know who this stranger is, about half of you, I'm looking out here going, wow, there's a lot of people I don't know. My better half, Dallas, and I are members of this church and have been for, I don't know, 5-6 years. But about 2 years ago, God said that we were to go on the road. And so we sold our house here in Silver Cliff and moved into a fifth-wheel travel trailer. And that was home for almost 2 years before God provided a house near her parents where we minister to her parents by being with them and near them and helping them. We do have a ministry started 8 years ago called Blue Fire Legacy, which the short version is we minister to ministers. So we do counseling and inner healing work with pastors, missionaries, and their families. We write books and teach, and we train up the body of Christ. Our purpose is to ignite the body of Christ to live in fullness of purity and power. And that took a lot to figure out. If you want to know more, there's a book table in the lobby. There's little brochures. These are free. Take them. And it has the fullness of our vision and what we're doing. There are also 4 books out there. I hate selling sales pitches, but part of how we support the ministry is we sell books. We have a children's book on forgiveness. We have a devotional book, 52 devotional stories. So you can do one a week or you can do one a day or just sit down and read it, enjoy it. And then we have discipleship courses on forgiveness and grief and on spiritual warfare. If any of that's of interest to you, it's there. And pay us would be great. If not, then take it and learn. So now let's get to the good stuff. I hate talking about myself. Let's talk about Jesus. Anybody like Jesus? Okay. All right. So this is the good stuff. So we're actually gonna the next 2 weeks. So you're stuck with me for 2 weeks. So either that's a blessing or, well, you're stuck with me. So a couple months ago, the Lord gave me a couple passages of scripture. This is how he prepares sermons with me. Notice I don't prepare the sermons. He prepares the sermons with me. He gives me passages of scripture and I go, okay, Lord, what am I to do with that? And generally, I don't even know who that passage is for. So I hadn't been invited to come yet when God gave me these passages. But I start meditating on them and, okay, Lord, what do you want out of these passages? How's this going to work? And he gave me 3 passages. And I go, how's that work in one sermon? Then he invited us for 2 weeks. So it's going to work. But what we're going to do is there's a theme in these. And we're going to be looking at the wisdom of man versus the direction of God for this week and next week. And today we're going to look at a story from 2 Chronicles. It's about King Asa. And we're going to cover a lot of ground, and your stomachs will be okay if I go long. It's okay. You can fire me next week. So, for some background, you all know King David ruled over Israel. And then his son Solomon, super smart guy, built the temple. The kingdom grew big. Solomon made a few mistakes in the process of his later life, and the kingdom was broken in two. So we had 10 tribes that went off, and they were the nation of Israel. And we have 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin, that had control over the southern part of the kingdom, including the city of Jerusalem. And the lineage of David continued to be king over Judah. And so King Asa is a descendant of David. So we're going to be looking at the kingdom of Judah. As we get into chapter 16, we'll have Israel come in as actually enemy of Judah. King Asa was a good king. We're going to see that he did right in the sight of the Lord. He ruled over Judah for 41 years. It's a long time. but he did good. And so if you have your swords, I'm just going to piggyback on Lynn's earlier statement. You need to ingest the Word of God. In other words, you take it in, you digest it, and you process it, and it becomes your life, because it brings us into relationship with our Creator. So, get out your swords. We're going to be in 2 Chronicles chapter 14. That's on page 660 in my Bible. Probably not that page in your Bible. And so I'm going to read select verses. You can read along if you have your Bibles with you. If you don't, listen carefully. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 2 through 4. And Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He took away the foreign altars and the high places and broke down the pillars and cut down the Asherim and commanded Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, and to keep the law and the commandment. Good king. Things are going good. And God blessed it. The first 10 years of Asa's reign was peace in the land. But then one day, the Ethiopians were down in Africa. They came up with an army of roughly 1 million soldiers. And they were coming against Judah. And they wanted to defeat Judah and take over. And so in verse 11, so Judah did have an army. They had 10 years of peace, but they did have an army. They kept a standing army. That's some of the ways you keep peace, is you keep a standing army. But their army was about half of what the Ethiopians were bringing up against them. And so in verse 11, we see that Asa's looking out at this army going, oh, what am I going to do? And Asa cried to the Lord his God. Now listen carefully to this prayer of Asa. O Lord, there is none like you to help between the mighty and the weak. Help us, O Lord, our God, for we rely on you, and in your name we have come against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Let not man prevail against you. I want to point out in this prayer that Asa has here, this isn't a typical American prayer, is it? We have a tendency to be whiners. Oh God, my life is hard. This army is coming. Will you save me? Come and protect me. Our prayers tend to be me-focused. But we can learn from King Asa. That prayer was all about God. This army is coming against you. There is none like you. We rely on you. We aren't strong. We can't do this. It's you, Lord. We come in your name. You are our God. And then he wrapped up with, let not man prevail against you. See, Asa was concerned about the Lord's image, not his own. How many of us can say that? The wisdom of man says, do all of the things that you look good. I've lived a couple years. I've been around. I know. I've been in the business world. I know how to look good in the eyes of man. And so do most of you. Some of you have come to the place that I don't care what man thinks, yet you still act like you care like man thinks. So as we look at Asa's prayer, we need to ask ourselves, am I seeking him or am I seeking for me? That's a key question. In your prayers, are your prayers about you or are they about him? And I could go all on about praying and such, but that's for a different day. So what was God's response? Did God ignore Asa? Well, let's find out. Verse 12. So the Lord defeated the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. We aren't told much about this battle, but we know who the victor was. It was God Almighty. Verse 13, Asa and the people who were with him pursued them as far as Gerar, and the Ethiopians fell until none remained alive, for they were broken before the Lord and his army. The men of Judah carried away very much spoil. So the army of Judah basically just took chase to finish what God actually accomplished. So he included them in the... They participated with the Lord in the victory. We participate with the Lord in what he is doing here on earth. We are not bystanders. We don't just go, hey, God, come take care of this. Hey, God, we need your victory. And he will then bring us into working with him to bring that victory. But what's the problem with great victories? And you guys can talk back to me. It's okay. It tells me you're awake. What's the problem with great victories? Let down afterwards. Pride. How easy Judah could have come back with all of that spoil and gone, we defeated the Ethiopians. How easily they could have done that. Yet God was gracious and sent them a prophet to remind them it wasn't you. Even when we're obedient, we're following God, we're participating with him, we're seeing the great victories, we need reminders that it ain't you. And that's proper Texan. I'm learning. So the Lord sent a prophet as a reminder in chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. The Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, hear me, Asa and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. I'm going to read that again because there's such deep truths there. I can't say it better than God said it. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. God is not hiding. God is not playing hide and seek from us. It's not a game. He's not trying to trick us into relationship with him. He will be found if we seek him. Are we seeking him is the question. Now I'm going to throw in here, this isn't in my notes, this is a bonus. We often seek religion, we seek church, we seek experiences. I'm going to go to this conference and I'm going to meet with God and it's going to be so good. There's nothing wrong with conferences. There's nothing wrong, well, there's a lot wrong with religion, so I won't say that one. There's nothing wrong with church. But are we seeking him? And that's the question we have to answer. He will be found by us. And we're going to see where the last part of that statement of if you forsake him, he will forsake you comes into play in Asa's life later on. All right, bonus time over. There we are. Okay. So Asa and all of the people responded with a great sacrifice. They tore down every potential idol in the land, with a couple exceptions. They kicked the king's mother out of the Castle. They slaughtered animals. They had this incredible all hands on deck. We are devoted to the Lord. Verse 15 of chapter 15. And all Judah rejoiced over the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and had sought him with their whole desire, and he was found by them, and the Lord gave them rest all around. In fact, they had rest for 20 years without war. 10 years of war, the Ethiopians come, Asa calls out to God, God brings victory, and 20 more years of peace. Asa's rule is going really good. Things are nice. Things are good. And I would love if this story ended in chapter 15. I've read this passage now, I don't know how many times in the last couple months. And every time I read chapter 16, grief comes upon me. Because Asa was doing so good. And because I watch people as we minister across the country, across the world, follow the Lord and do so good. And then they get comfortable. 20 years of peace, they got comfortable. They got lazy. They thought they had it figured out. And so, God allowed hardship to come. He does that for us too. He allows hardship to come. It's not punishment. Well, sometimes it is. But in general, hardship is hardship. But it's to see, are we going to follow him? This church is at a place where you've had it good. It's been good. We had great leadership with Glenn and Gwen. For I think it was about 11 or 12 years they were here. Good leadership. The church is debt-free, as every church should be. That's a soapbox I won't get on. You have this beautiful building. You have, as far as I know, a good name in this community. Yes, there's distractors. That's the enemy trying to take you out. That's okay. You can go pound sand in a dry place where it's hot and breezy. You have it good. But you're also at a place where you have decisions to make. You have a pastor search committee that's poring over resumes and praying. And I've talked to at least a couple of the members of that committee. I know they are seeking the Lord. They're not just looking at the qualifications of the man. They're asking the Lord, who is the man? But the whole church needs to be doing that. The whole church needs to be seeking the Lord, not a man. And when that man is found and called, honor him as pastor. Do not raise him up as more than a man seeking God and serving the Lord. In our work with pastors and missionaries, we've dealt with a lot of stuff that you don't want to know about. These men and women are humans. We are not superheroes just because we get to stand in a pulpit. So seek the Lord and he will be found. That man that the Lord has for this church is an answer to prayer, but he is not your Savior. So what happened with King Asa in chapter 16 that makes me grieve so much? So we're going to read the first six verses. In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, and just a side note, if you read in 1 Kings about Asa, there's some confusion about names of the king of Israel that this happened to. I'm not going to worry about that. The king of Israel went up against Judah and built Ramah. that he might permit no one to go out or come in to King Asa of Judah. Then Asa took silver and gold from the treasures of the house of the Lord and the king's house, and sent them to Ben-Hadad, king of Assyria, who lived in Damascus, saying, "There is a covenant between me and you, as there was between my father and your father. Behold, I am sending to you silver and gold. Go and break your covenant with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may withdraw from me." And Ben-Hadad listened to King Asa and sent the commanders of his armies against the cities of Israel. And they conquered Ijon, Dan, Abel-Maim, and all the store cities of Naphtali. And when Baasha heard of it, he stopped building Ramah and let his work cease. Then King Asa took all of Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and its timber, with which Baasha had been building. And with them he built Geba and Mizpah. The plan worked. Asa solved the problem. But what was missing? What was missing? He didn't ask God. How many of us do that? I'm guilty. God gave me intelligence. He gave me skills. He expects me to solve this. Maybe none of you have ever had that thought, but I have. God equipped me to solve this. That's danger. Dangerous talk. It worked, but it wasn't the best. How many of you want the good or the best? Good? Okay. Best? 3, 5, 10 of you are awake. Okay. We are like Asa. We think we got it figured out. We think we have the solution. And our solutions may even work like it did for Asa. But it wasn't the best. And God, because he loves us, doesn't just let us go on. He sent a prophet to Asa. Verse 7 through 9. At that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, "Because you relied on the king of Syria and did not rely on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Syria has escaped you. Were not the Ethiopians and the Libyans a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he gave them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward him. You have done foolishly in this, for from now on you will have wars." Asa solved the problem in front of him, but because he did not seek the Lord, the rest of his reign over Judah was filled with war. We don't want to do that. I hope we don't. I hope we want to seek the Lord. But you know what I think God was doing with this prophet? I think God was saying, "Asa, oh son, how you missed it. You missed, son, I want you to come back in relationship with me." I don't think God was going, "Oh man, how dare you? I'm going to smite you. I'm going to give you war." It's not God's character. Some of us have that image of God. I know. But that's not God's true character. God is a loving father that desires relationship with us. When we mess up, hallelujah, thank the Lord, because I have more than my share of mess ups, he's not there to beat us down. He's there to lift us back up. He's there to draw us back to Him. Because that's His desire. He wants us with Him. He was given Asa a choice, an option. Asa, come back to me. Unfortunately, and this is the part that just really breaks my heart. Verse 10. Then Asa was angry with the seer and put him in the stocks in prison, for he was enraged with him because of this. And Asa inflicted cruelties upon some of the people at the same time. Not only did Asa not repent, he punished the messenger. Now, as one who gives messages from God to people, I've been in Hannah and I's place. I've not been put in the stocks, but I've watched an honorarium check written and signed and not given to me. I've been not invited back because I said things that God told me to say and they didn't want to hear them. And you know what? I'm okay with that because God is the one who's responsible for providing for me. He has covered that honorarium I missed again and again because I was obedient to say what He said to say. And I come this week and next week not to call you to the carpet, so to speak. I come to call you up. Come up with the Lord. Seek Him and He will be found by you. And if at the end you run me out of town, I will pray for you as I pray for that church still today. And that was probably 4 or 5 years ago that happened. Because God wants relationship with you. This is all about relationship. So let's wrap up Asa's story, then let's talk about that relationship. Verse 12 and 13, in the 39th year of his reign, Asa was diseased in his feet, and his disease became severe. Yet even in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but sought help from physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers, dying in the 41st year of his reign. The rest of his life, he was separated from the Lord. How many of you have had a message that you didn't like because you messed up? And you have separated from the Lord. I did for a time. I had 2 years where I was mad at God. I was angry. I was hurt. I was bitter. God, I don't like your people. And I'm not sure about you. But He loved me so much that He let me yell and scream at Him. He loved me so much that He didn't leave me there. But He eventually brought around some teaching on forgiveness. He brought me to a place where I could deal with my hurts. But He didn't just give me tools. He gave me Him. See, God loves us so much, He sent His Son. He sent His Son, Jesus, to be a human. We just celebrated Christmas, the manger, and all of the story of Jesus' birth. Are we celebrating Jesus' life in us? We celebrate Christmas, but do we celebrate His life in us? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? That's step one. Is He your Savior? Step one. Step two, is He your Lord? There is a difference here. This is not fire insurance. This is not about eternity in heaven. This is about living with Him here on earth today. Is He your Lord? What does it mean to surrender our life as Lord to Him as Lord? It means that I no longer seek Mark and Mark's ways and Mark's benefits and Mark's good. It means that I seek him. It means that when he says, go on the road and live in a fifth wheel, I go, Lord, that's really small. But okay, I'll do it. When he says, go live in Bay City, Texas, and I go, Lord, the people are nice, but the climate and the topography is, I don't know what you did, but you missed something there. I really like Colorado, Lord. He says, you doing it, son? I said, yeah, I'm doing it. I don't want to live in Bay City. But for a season, he has me there. I want to live right here. I got up this morning, walked my dog, going, oh, Lord. Crisp, clear air. I'm having to drink water because down there I just breathe it in. Up here, I have to drink it. When I was a kid, it was, are you willing to go to Africa? And I actually said yes. He never asked me to go. But I said, yeah, Lord, I'll go to Africa if that's what you want me to do. Instead, he put me in an accounting firm and had me minister as a CPA for 20 years while pastoring a church and planting a church and doing all that bivocationally. It wasn't what I thought. How many of you have plans for your life that you have not laid down to the Lord? Are you surrendered to him as Lord? Not just Savior, but as Lord. And then what he wants to do is walk in relationship with us. Prayer is not a petition to him, it's a conversation with him. The passage of pray without ceasing, I never understood that. I can't be on my knees praying for 24 hours a day, Lord. I got stuff to do. But you know what? I can pray without ceasing because as I do, I'm talking with him. Because it's conversation. It's relationship. So are you in relationship with him? Maybe you've asked Jesus to be your Savior. Maybe you even said, yes, I'm going to make you Lord as best I can. But are you walking in relationship with him? A lot of us have father issues. So we look at Father God like we do through the lens of our fathers. And I'm one of those who has father issues. But Father God is not my earthly father. He is so good. He's so kind and loving. So don't let the hurts of man keep you from the relationship with God the Father that he is calling you to. Okay, so we're going to wrap this up. There, Monty, I had two slides for Jeremiah 17, 5 and 6. So let's read that passage, Jeremiah 17, 5 and 6. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in me and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. So next week we're going to actually build on this and break this passage apart a little bit more. But the next slide on the cursed is the man who trusts, or the trust man slide. There we go. He's cursed. He will not see good. He's a shrub. He lives in a parched wilderness, a desert, in an uninhabited land. He's alone. God doesn't want us alone. But, verse 7 and 8, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He's like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. I want you to notice the heat comes and the drought comes. God does not promise easy. For those that preach easy, they haven't read this book. God promises good, blessed. You're a tree, not a shrub. You're by a stream, they have a water source, provision. You're not fearful, you are not anxious. You remain green no matter what's coming your way, and you bear fruit, even in the drought. Because God is the one who through you does these things. And next week we'll expand on that, but as you think about these two men, the man who trusts man and the man who trusts God, which one are you? Which one are you? I'm willing to bet a lot of us will say, well, Mark, to be honest, I'm some of both. Anybody here like that? Some of both? You know, I thought that was okay. I thought if I trusted God in some of my life, that I was being a good Christian. But God doesn't want some of our life. So if you're both, you haven't arrived yet. Seek Him. See, this is an invitation. This isn't a put you down. This is an invitation to rise up. If you're the man that trusts man, maybe you haven't even accepted Jesus as your Savior yet. Make that step today. Make that step today. Maybe you've accepted Him as your Savior, but you haven't made Him Lord of your life. Maybe there's a part of your life that you haven't turned over to Him. You know, I had to turn my career over. I worked hard for my master's in accounting. I worked hard for that CPA license. It provided really good. Paid a lot better than being a missionary. But you know what? I surrendered it to Him. And He said, son, I've got you. He released me from role of provider. Now I'm son. So what you think you're holding on to for your protection is actually holding you back. It's keeping you from a full relationship with Him. It's keeping you from the fullness of His blessings and His goodness. Maybe, like King Asa, you're seeking the help of physicians instead of God. I'm treading on thin ice on this one. God has gifted doctors. I'm not sure about pharmaceutical companies yet. To help us with our bodies. But if our dependence is upon the doctor or the drug, like Asa, we will live our life out suffering. Maybe you have a health issue that you need to lay before the Lord. I don't know what His answer is. His answer may be a doctor in treatment. I'm not going to put Him in a box and say He can't do that. But whatever in your life, we're going to sing a song, Trust and Obey. This goes way back. For those of you that grew up in church in the 70s and 80s, you know this song. But as you sing or listen to those words, I want you to personalize it. Lord, do I really trust you?